That brings us on to, Maureen, what you would have is proposal number two of the groups, and which would be number three probably in your list. If we can bring that up and then see if there's any questions on that.
It just disappeared again, at least on my screen. Can you pull it up so we can read it again?
I don't think Maureen has actually posted the question yet.
Oh, it was up briefly.
Okay, I didn't see it on mine.
It was. I'll have to relaunch it. I'm sorry. I'm not sure.
You launched the polling, I believe, Maureen, not the question.
It was the question because I read it, but not quickly enough.
Come on, Marianne, read faster.
Is it there? Do you folks see it? All right, so people are now voting. Okay.
Doesn't there have to be a proposed a motion and a second and discussion
there does.
First?
Yes, there does.
I make a motion to accept proposal number two as written, as presented.
We just have a quick second.
Second.
Okay, motion a second. Now is there discussion? Okay. Hearing none. No hands raised. Maureen, now you can repost the poll and we'll vote on it.
Okay, 10 seconds. Anybody having any issues? Closing this one?
Okay, so
Maureen, I again had trouble voting. I voted and it would not accept it. And I've not voted before. I haven't done by proxy. The same thing had happened again.
So Marianne, can you send that to Maureen again, like you just did?
Yep, I'll do that again, yeah. Where's my chat? Okay, to Maureen, no. How do I want to send it to, okay, to Maureen.
I got the error message again.
Yeah, me too, I got the same. I want to send that to, I think it's going to you. I think it's going to Holden Towers, Brian.
Okay.
Make sure that Maureen gets it.
I don't see it though, so let me just. Okay. Oh, here it is. Yeah, I have it. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I have texted it to Maureen.
Okay.
So Maureen, is the polls closed?
Yes.
Okay, and then you can post that and we'll do the same with Richard and we'll add the two votes that couldn't make it through the system.
And we need to confirm Christine Briggs's vote is recorded as we did last time. Are you guys on iPads perchance?
No, I'm on a computer.
Okay, okay.
I'm on iPad.
Okay, thank you. Just curious, thank you.
Okay, I do not have a message from Christine. I do have a message from Colleen Daly, and your vote did go through, Colleen.
And Chris Briggs' vote did not go through? Or did?
It did not.
Did Mary Ann Felice go through?
All right, I'll send you a message. Let me see if
no, I'll... Mary Ann's did not either.
All right.
Okay, let me see. All right. Okay. All right. I figured out how to do this. Okay. So Maureen, theoretically, that went to you for me. It just.
Yes, and I also received Mary Ann's. Thank you. Okay. Sorry, Randy, did you want me to share those now?
Yes, please. Yep. And then I'll call you with Richard.
Hey, Maureen, do we have Chris Briggs's vote recorded in some fashion?
Yes, I've added it to the Excel file.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, folks, sorry. So the total for is 105 votes, total against 68. So the total was 173 votes cast. And the for is 60.7%. So that is not 2/3, so it does not pass. So we would move on to proposal number 3. So without starting the poll, Maureen, so if you could just list it so people can see it, and then we can do the proper motions and have a discussion. This would be for Article 4, Paragraph 4.2, the group's proposal number 3, which would probably be your lined up vote number 4.
Yes, I see it, but I'm not able to just have anybody view that without launching it.
So how about this, Randy, does this help?
Yep, that's fine. So we're voting on
which one?
Proposal number 3. So allow any member in good standing to be elected. I just want to make sure I'm reading the right one, sorry. Yep. Allow any member of the club may become a director. Yep. So this is the group's proposal. It was proposal number 3, and we see it there. Article 4, 4.2, directors. Allow any member in good standing to be elected a director. So maybe it makes sense, Steve, if you can have someone make a motion in a second, then we can have discussion.
Could we read the entirety of that, please?
We can put it up on the—
No, I don't mean the entirety of the whole proposal, but just this brief summary.
Would you like me to read it, or do you want to read it yourself?
No, you please, you.
Okay, yep. Sorry, just making sure. Article 4, Roman numeral 4, 4.2, directors. Allow any member in good standing to be elected a director. Limit the number of directors to no more than 9. Election of directors to a 3-year term by majority vote of the members.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So if somebody can make a motion, and then a second, we can at least have discussion on it.
I make a motion.
I'll second it. That's fine. open it up for discussion. No, we're not going to launch just yet. Just discussion. Steve, did you want to say anything for it?
Well, this was discussed last week. Basically, this proposal here is going to limit the terms of the directors, and it's also going to limit the number of directors. And you have to be a member in good standing, which is as the last proposal got defeated, would revert back to the directors determining what a member in good standing is.
And I would comment that because the board bylaw proposals were defeated, that included a very similar member in good standing definition. Unfortunately, that was defeated as well. I would comment against this motion because the board has worked extremely well since I've been on it. It was at 13 members, and then unfortunately Stuart Hammer passed away. We're down to 12 directors, and with the amount of work that goes on at the board, I felt that was has worked very well. We can spread the work across 12 people. In addition, the studies that I have seen peg 13 as the number for nonprofit boards. I believe in Mr. Gauthier's write-up, he indicated the 9 came from a library study of trustees or directors. I just don't think that's appropriate for a tennis club, that's all. That'd be my comment.
And if I could, Randy, just for clarity, there has been some commenting that current board members can stay on forever, but we do have we're limited to 2 3-year terms. And after the first 3 years, we have to be renewed. And then at the end of the second 3 years, board members must come off for a period of 1 year. And if they choose to come back on, it would be after that 12 months of being off. The rationale behind this was also stated, and I did bring this up last week, but it was stated that the old bylaws limited number of directors to 9, and that wasn't accurate. The old bylaws limited it was called trustees to 9 plus the executive committee, which had 6, so it was really 15. So again, speaking out against this.
Maureen, I can't see hands if they're raised or not. Anybody else have any questions?
I'd just like to make a comment. I informally just sort of did my best estimate of the amount of work this board has put in the past 2 years. And okay. With 13 members, and I figure on average, we do
collectively 20 hours per month, well, not collectively, each individual would put in on average 20 hours per month over the past 2 years to make sure this tennis club is up and running well. So, you know, if to limit this to 9 people, do a little math and figure out that's a bigger burden for anybody on a board with 9 members. Thank you.
Any other discussion?
Is there a raise hand? Has her hands
Marty
raised.
Abeles, I'm sorry, I'm not, probably not pronouncing
that. Abeles, yeah.
Hi. All of you have volunteered to do this knowing that the workload was not going to be easy. If you didn't want to help the club, then each of you shouldn't have taken on the responsibility. There also are 400 members that can help you on these committees that you have not let members be part of for the last 6 years, as I understand it. Also, when members want to be on the board, you present it as a slate, and therefore members are not allowed to serve. And I know this from very personal experience.
All right, let's move this.
I would actually say, Marty, that there have been a lot of volunteers who are not members, my wife included, who's dedicated probably hundreds of hours for the renovation of the clubhouse. She is not a director. And I know there are lots of people who serve on other subsidiary committees, marketing committee, the CLAC committee. So I do take exception that I've never said that I didn't enjoy doing the work, and I never complained about the amount of work that I've done personally. So I take exception to what you said. Thank you.
Okay. I think we're ready to vote.
Steve Gauthier, you have your hand raised.
I do. I just have one additional comment to make. There was a board meeting back in, I believe, 2017 or 2018. And in the meeting minutes, it was noted that the board was going to reduce the number of board members from 15 down to 13. And based upon that information, I may have the numbers incorrect, but since that time, the board has made no decision to decrease the amount of board members.
Let me answer that question. So first of all, we increased the amount of board members to 20 due to the merger of Worcester Tennis Club.
Point of order for one moment, Andrew. This had nothing to do with that. This was after the merger.
Let me finish. You don't let me finish.
He's answering your question, Steve.
I'm answering your question. And then we decided that as after the merger, we would reduce the amount of board members with attrition. And that's how we decided to come up with that number.
Move the question.
Okay, let's, why don't we move to the vote?
Maureen, would you does anyone need to see the vote first? Could you put that sheet up, Brian, that shows what we're voting on? And then we can launch the poll. Okay, can everybody read that? So this is proposal number 3. Allow any member in good standing to be elected a director, limit the number of directors to no more than 9, election of directors with 3-year term by majority vote of the members. Further questions? Maureen, could you launch the poll, please? Brian, do you have to take this down?
You bet.
Okay, we're at 35 seconds. Anybody having any difficulties? Okay. Ending? Okay, do you want me to share those results now, Randy?
Yes, yes, please.
Oh, you're muted, Randy.
If you can just tell us how many people voted, then we'll call you in the side room like we did the last one.
Yep, 41.
Thank you.
Wow.
That at least was a little bit quicker. Four votes are 91, against votes are 83. So that does not meet the two-thirds. Moving on now to, if Brian, if you could bring up proposal number four, so everyone can see what it is. So proposal number four, I'll just read it, article 4, 4.4, directors. Eliminate director removal for cause by majority vote of directors and permit director removal with or without cause by majority vote of the members. Steve, would you make a motion or have someone make a motion?
I make a motion to vote on this proposal as written.
Second.
Motion and a second. Discussion.
If I may.
Yep.
This proposal is essentially a proposal that allows the members to recall a board member. We have this in our formal election process where any elected member of any part of our elected officials may be recalled by a vote of the constituents, and this would allow the members to do that, and that's what the essence of this proposal is.
I don't know if there's any other comments. I would comment that the directors under the current bylaw would be removed for cause. The addition of the removal without cause, I think, did not sit well. That in the director's bylaws, which were not approved, we actually put forth a process for that. But in this case, someone can be removed just because they don't like them. And that's what it means by without cause. If a director did something wrong, then make a move to get rid of that director. They probably deserve it. But because you don't like, you know, the way they vote, so without cause, you know, to me, that's a mistake.
But we don't know how they vote.
I'm sorry, could you repeat the comment? I'm not sure who said that.
But we don't know how they vote.
I don't understand the context. I'm sorry, Mr. Thompson.
Well, you said how they vote, you know, based on, because you don't like them how they vote. We don't know how they vote. It's the board. The board has made a decision. We don't know who's voting on what.
I agree with you that the individual board votes are not known. So I'll say, if you don't like how they act or you don't like how they help run the club, I agree with you, individual board votes aren't recorded.
This is Corinne Walker. I would just add that it's not actually true that any political representative can be recalled. I know this because in Lancaster, we didn't have the ability to do a recall, and there was a schism in town. There were some people that didn't like some of the other people, and you know, a group went all the way to the state to get a recall law on the books, on the bylaw on the books in town, and to run a recall campaign, which just was so divisive. You know, we still have wounds from that. I think I agree that if there's cause, absolutely, any board member should be accountable for, you know, if there's a reason for them to be removed. But, you know, having a board member be able to be removed without cause, you know, can cause a lot of hard feelings. And divisiveness, and that's, we just don't need more of that these days. That's my opinion.
Thanks, Corinne. Mr. Gibbs, I see your hand raised.
Yeah, hi. A little bit in response to that, if we look around the country, there are very, very different approaches to this in different places. Cause is a very relative construct when it isn't based on a legal definition. And so I think that people need to decide on the basis of the proposal, there is a premise of a majority vote. So it isn't as if one person would be in a position to remove a board member. And I think that that's something that, regardless of how you fall on this issue, that's a piece of it that wasn't highlighted in the discussion so far. And I think that it's relevant.
Thanks, Mr. Gibbs.
My hand is raised.
Sorry, I see Holden Towers' hand raised. Tom, sorry, Tom, go ahead. Tom was raising your hand manually. Sorry.
Sorry, I'll just keep going here. I think the point is, a while back, there were 141 members of the club who indicated that they wanted to retain Kevin Dunleavy. Obviously, that number has dwindled, hasn't gotten there, but the whole idea of being able to remove somebody without cause is that it is precisely because people are unhappy with the way a particular vote takes place. It gives people the ability to make the board sensitive to the fact that they are answerable to the members. And that's the whole idea here. Cause also is, unless you define what cause is, it's a rat hole. Nobody knows what it is. And so how do you know whether there is cause or not?
Thanks, Mr. Connolly.
Randy, there's a question that came into the chat directly to me.
Good.
Lisa Andrianopoulos, sorry. I wonder if you have the ability to remove someone without cause, does that open the club up to potential future litigation lawsuits? Is that in the best interest of the club?
I would let any lawyers on the call answer that. It's a volunteer position, so I'm not sure where the damages are. Anybody want to take a crack? I will say that I would like to know what it is that someone is trying to remove me for. And if I were to rewrite this as we had written in the board proposal, there would be a process by which if someone accused me of wrongdoing, they would have to write down what it was they felt I did. There would be a hearing. I would at least be able to get to put forth why I believe I didn't do the things that they say that I did. I personally, as a selectman, was subject of a recall 5 years ago. It was not pretty. So I can attest to Corinne, and it was a failed recall. They never got the number of votes required to even make a recall. And it was all personal.
If I could just clarify what I was saying, not necessarily, I know it's volunteer and it's not necessarily monetary damages. What I'm thinking is if you remove someone without cause, you are saying things about that person which can potentially impact their reputations and perhaps even their livelihoods, depending on what you're accusing them of. And so does that open the board of the club up to like slander and libel allegations?
I am not an attorney, so I'm not going to attempt to try to answer that.
I'll take a shot at that. It seems like it would be the opposite, that if you're trying to remove somebody for cause, then you're going to say some things about them that would lead you to believe that, you know, they did something wrong. So that may be some harmful information, you know, whether that would be defamation or not, you know, if someone's lying about someone, that could be defamation. But I think the idea of the without cause lessens that sort of a outcome.
Thank you.
So somebody, Holden Towers, is that, Brian, is that you that has your hand up?
Yes, it is. And I was just typing a chat message to Marianne and Christine before we move this motion to ask if they had any difficulties in voting on this. It's been so long. Have we voted on this one?
No, not still... on
this. No, we haven't voted on this.
We haven't voted on this one yet.
My bad. My bad. Okay, so far,
the last one. Brian, on the last one, I did not have difficulties. I have no idea why. It was only that one.
Okay. I just didn't want to not ask, and so I apologize. Move on. Yeah,
thank you.
Sorry.
Thanks.
Tom, you still have your hand up, or? Tom Conley?
No, sorry. I'll take it down.
Okay. All right. So Brian, you can put your hand down too. Okay. I don't see any other hands up, so we can move forward.
So Maureen, would you, I know we'd already seen the proposal. So this is the proposal to remove a director with or without cause. So Maureen, would you launch the poll, please?
serve at the pleasure of the membership.
Seconds? Anybody have any issues? Closing.
So Marie, you can go ahead and show the results whenever you're ready. Mm. 45%, 55. We'll just go into our room, our call. All right, so the results are in, and we have 87 votes for and 88 votes against. So it's not a vote. Move on to proposal number 5. Brian, if you can list that sheet again. So this is Article 5.4, officers, change officer tenure, comma, limiting to 1 2-year non-renewable term versus current 3-year renewable term and exemption from director term limits while serving as an officer. Steve, would you mind making a motion to?
Make a motion to accept this and vote on it as written.
I'll second. Can we open it up to discussion? Brian, can you take this down just so we can see hands? Thank you. Any discussion?
So may I? This is Marianne. May I make it sort of ask something? So if I understand this, when we elect somebody, and I'm not sure if we're able to elect them based on all these rules, when we elect somebody to be on our board, they only serve 2 years and they can't do more than that unless they're an officer, and then they can stay longer and then they're off. The turnover will be very quick. And if we need some continuity, This might not give us continuity. By the same token, if we have everybody on it too long, we don't get the kind of turnover that we should, that's healthy. You know, about a third of the board should change every couple of years, is probably most boards that I'm on. I'm on 4 boards of directors. And you want some continuity, although you want new blood coming in, but you can't have the whole board have new blood. And you do need some people who, you need to get something done in 2 years. And since we're only open in the summers, I'm concerned about this limiting what we can get done. By the same token, I don't like the fact that somebody could be on it forever.
Okay.
As I read this, it seems this just applies to officers, not to directors.
Ah.
That would be correct.
All right. Thank you.
But still, the officers include the treasurer and the secretary, which the board has pointed out has greater institutional memory and might benefit from being able to serve more than 1 2-year sentence. No, go office.
Val, you had your hand up?
Yeah, as I'm currently the treasurer, and I just want to say that we need to look within our ranks to see if, you know, for example, we have this rapid turnover, how many people know QuickBooks, know accounting, you know, and are able to perform that, have the skill set to perform that function. So I think we need to also look at that in terms of certain positions where we need skill sets that are desirable to have within the club and not just somebody maybe reverting back to Excel spreadsheets because they can't use QuickBooks or something like that. And it's not necessarily an easy program to understand.
Thanks, Val. Marty, you have your hand raised.
Hi. People that run a business are familiar with QuickBooks. And if they weren't, it isn't hard to learn. And if they weren't, then maybe they would not apply for that position. This is not a multi-million-dollar business. Yes, it's $750,000, but you still pay the water and the heat and the electricity, and you pay for what goes on the courts, and we pay for sewerage, but this is not a very difficult business to run. And someone who runs their own business would be able to do this job. Thank you, Val, for all that you've done. And I know that you do this while you're doing your other jobs. And we appreciate that.
I will say from the board's bylaw committee perspective that tenure in the position of secretary and treasurer were very important. And that's why we understood and actually put forth some different language in their proposal. But we cut out the positions of president and vice president. As the current bylaws are currently written, they can serve multiple terms as director, because under the current bylaw, the director tenure is held in suspense while the people serve as officers. We've had a very long time secretary that worked out very well. Sadly, Stuart passed away. To me, the institutional knowledge is key, especially with the secretary and treasurer. I know Brian served, I don't know how many years. Herb Feldman served many, many years before that. And that's why we accepted in the proposal from the bylaw committee, we removed the ability to kind of stay. Someone said forever, that's not really true, but for 30 years. Remove that from the president and the vice president, so they couldn't stay there. I would point out that even under the current bylaws, someone still has to be elected every 3 years as an officer.
This strikes me as being a situation where honestly, I thought the board's proposal on this section was a little more robust, but because the board's proposed changes were all wrapped up in one vote, there wasn't an opportunity to say, yes, this is, I would like this to take effect. Perhaps, you know, coming out of this, there will be another effort, and we can have individual proposals that we can decide what we really want.
Thanks, Corinne. Any other questions?
So, yeah, Rainey, if I can just say, I think, and someone may help me here or correct me here, but if I recall, at Worcester Tennis Club, they had a high rate of turnover in the treasurer's spot, and they ended up going to an outside accounting firm at an expense of what I believe was $5,000 a year. I think we're very lucky to have a treasurer who performs well, doesn't steal from us. And I don't mean to say that, you know, when you have a lot of turnover and you bring in new people to that position every year, that's a risk that you're going to run. And so I think when you have someone that is trustworthy, accurate, has the institutional knowledge, the relationship with the vendors, the knowledge of the members, we have members with, you know, that are on leave. You need someone in that position that has the institutional knowledge, is honest, and has the skill set to do the job. If you turn it over every 2 years, you're going to run out of people who know how to do accounting, and you're going to put people in there that don't have the skill set that you really need. I know Marty's point is right on. This is not a manufacturing company or a retail company, but Still, you need that basic skill set to make sure that your taxes get done on time, you know, your annual report gets filed. There's just a lot of nitty gritty detail that every company has to deal with. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Any further questions? If not, Maureen, would you be able to? Oh, Tony?
No, it's Tom.
Go ahead, Tom.
Hi. I'm a little short cash these days, so if it's possible to steal, I'd like to raise my hand for the treasurer's job.
Well, Brian and I are on the audit committee, Tom, so we'd make it very difficult on you to do that. So, are there any other questions? No, people are probably getting a little tired. If not, Maureen, would you launch the poll, and then you can, when you're ready with your timing, you can close it and then just post the results.
Sorry, 10 seconds.
Yep.
Sorry, Randy, a question did just come up in the chat from Dora Locke. What if the treasurer is involved in conflict of interest with other members?
Well, I think we finished the question part. We're in the middle of the poll, and I think the poll is just closed. So I don't think it's appropriate to be asking that. I'll ask Richard. He's on my phone here.
Basically, a pointed question that's out.
I think it's the time has passed for that.
So Richard is saying he believes the time has passed for that as well. So if you can just launch the results.
Thanks. Sorry, Richard.
And if you can just give the members the actual number, and then we'll sidebar in our phones.
38 voted.
Thank you. I'll be calling you momentarily. or at least we're getting a little quicker on our math. So the four votes are 85 for and 86 against. So it's not a vote. Moving on to proposal number 16, Brian, if you could put that one up. So I'll just read it here. It's at the bottom there. Article 4, 4.3, ooh, directors, remove the clause, quote, the immediate past president will serve 1 3-year term as director.
I make a motion to accept this proposal as written.
Yep, I'll second. Just for discussion purposes. Discussion. Brian, would you remove this so we can just see the hands raised, please? I know when we discussed this again at the bylaw review committee, this seemed kind of pointed at the current president. There was no transition rule. So from that standpoint, we did think that in the future it may make sense, and that's what the bylaw review committee, the board, suggested doing. But we also put in a, for fairness, we put in a transition clause for the current president. Anyone else have any questions or comments? Seeing none, Maureen, could you launch the poll and then we go.
Ten seconds. Closing the poll. Oh, you're muted, Randy.
Could you just provide the number, Maureen?
38 votes.
38 votes. Okay, we'll go into our little phone room. Hi, everyone. The votes are 92 for, 79 against. So that is also not a vote. So we're going to move on to proposal number 7. Brian, if you could put that up there, please. So we see here the synopsis is Article 4, 4.2, directors. This is the director's section. Adds a paragraph providing that any member in good standing may be nominated and elected to the board. Upon completing a nomination application, all nominees to be listed on the ballot with top vote getters elected by members. Steve, you want
to? I'd move the vote on this amendment as proposed.
I'll second. Discussion.
I'd like to start off on this one. The intent on this proposal here is that the current process of being selected for the board is through the nomination committee. Not, how would I put it? Members are pared down and presented to the board, acknowledged by the board, and put on a slate. There's no current ability to nominate from the floor, nor for other members, should they not be selected by the nomination committee, to be selected for the board.
From the bylaw committee of the board, I would say we learned an awful lot about state law. One of the things that was never in our bylaws that we actually recommended now to be put in would be a provision to pretty much ask for what Mr. Gauthier just commented on. To my knowledge, there's actually never been a request, a formal request at all at an annual meeting to add somebody. I know there were some questions in the past, but in our review of state law, we've learned a lot. And in fact, even if our bylaws don't say it, you have to accept nominations from the floor, but they've never been made from the floor, at least since I've been on the board. And unfortunately, again, here, you know, I think the bylaw committee put forth a pretty good proposal for this, and in fact, more importantly, put a process in place. So, you know, I hope that at some point soon that could be resurrected.
Again, if I may speak, you know, for a healthy organization, it's essential that we be able to have votes, not just, it's almost incestuous. It could be, I'm a pediatrician, so it's like incestuous to have just the board be able to nominate board members. We must open it up. We need a healthy organization where people can be nominated by one another, it would be my observation.
Randy, could we adopt, until we get the bylaw issue resolved, can we adopt policies around this that we could work with the membership to put in place? Or how would we bridge this?
I personally would put forth in front of all of you tonight, even though we can't vote on it as a bylaw, that what we suggested become a policy. And we do that with our next annual meeting. The only difference here is to me, it adds a lot better process, gives time for people who weren't vetted and suggested by the nominating committee to go forth and put their own, you know, right up directly to the members. So I agree with you, especially after what we learned for state law. What we proposed, I think, could easily be a policy. So I would put that forth to my fellow directors that are on the call.
Randy, may I ask how you see the board's proposal, the major differences? I know one was that the nominating committee still existed in the board's proposal, and you mentioned at the meeting last week that that it was, or somebody did, that it was an opportunity to vet candidates. And the Gauthier et al. Proposal eliminates the nominating committee. But other than that, are there major differences between the two proposals?
I think in ours, when I go back and look at it now, it's the process that we put forth because it's not as easy anymore. We're finding out through these meetings, when you're dealing with proxies, it's difficult to just put a name in front of a live audience, yet you've already had a bunch of proxies, in our case, 133, who've already voted on a, you know, not a slate or individual directors. So the process that we suggested in the bylaw review committee would make sure people who were interested, and anyone could be interested, any one of the members, put your name in and state your cause. So long as you put it in before, I think it was 10 days before the meeting, your name would then appear on the ballot. So it's just from a practicality standpoint. And I personally think if this doesn't pass, I'll be out there advocating for the process that we put in place. I say that's the biggest difference. And the nominating committee that we have here in the proposal from our board bylaw review, two members selected by the board and three members shall be selected by members who are not board members. So it actually gives a majority of the control in the nominating committee to non-members.
So as I read Steve's et al.'s proposal, I do see that there's a bit of a process here as well. I mean, they mentioned that the nomination application, which is part of this, right, has to be filled out 30 days ahead of time and signed by X number of people in good standing. I'm just trying to get at, you know, I'm trying to make, you know, figure out in my own head the benefit to having this versus what exists currently. And I don't like what exists currently, and I think you mentioned that there are some legalities involved as well, but I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just time to try something new. I don't see the elimination of a nomination committee as being a huge issue, honestly.
Yeah, and I think, and anyone from our committee is welcome to talk to us on the line. We felt the nominating committee plays a very vital role in vetting prospective candidates. And yeah, I would say every single set of bylaws we looked at had a nominating committee.
Sure.
If not the vast majority of them did.
Right. No, I wrote bylaws for a 501c3 and also put in a nominating committee. But the way it's worked, you know, in recent years hasn't been so good. So I mean, it's been limiting to the, you know, the candidates that are offered, and that's just a thought.
Yeah, I think up until this year, no one really maybe knew enough to complain about it. And so that's where we were. And I think going through what we went through, looking at the laws, looking what other clubs did, you know, to me, what we proposed is very good. And like I said, to me, I think we should put that forth if this doesn't pass. Giles, are you looking to speak?
I was going to mention one of the other values of the nominating committee was to basically assess the competency of the current board and the various competencies that existed and make sure that we were also selecting for particular talents and expertise and so forth that it was likely that the board might need. That was the other reason to have some guidance over a process that nevertheless included the ability to bring other points of view in and not have it being an anointing process only.
Thanks, Charles. Anybody else? Questions?
My hand is raised.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead, Mr. Connolly.
Well, two things. First of all, perhaps the reason that nobody was nominated from the floor was because nobody knew they could. The second thing is that the law today is that anybody can be nominated from the floor without validation. So certainly the opportunity is there, today. I understand that validation makes sense and stuff like that, but today, if we do nothing, then candidates can be nominated from the floor at the annual meeting.
Mr. Connolly, I would agree. I think the issue that you end up with is the getting people, and when you're proxy voting, getting them on that proxy ballot. It's almost inherently unfair to the person being nominated from the floor, because you've got all these proxy votes that have already been voted. So they'd never have a chance to become a director if the proxy votes don't have the name on them. So that to me is why you want to add process. I agree with you that I don't like what we have now. And I think that speaking as one board member, I'm going to push for it to change to what we suggested. So, Suzanne Dane, had your hand up?
Yes, I simply move to vote, please.
So we have a motion to move the question.
Second.
All right, let's move to vote.
A motion, a second. If I could indulge the members, if we could just go right to the vote rather than taking a vote on the motion to move the question, that's okay.
Agreed.
So Maureen, would you post it? Thank you.
Ten seconds. Closing. We had 38 votes.
Maureen, I'm just making my call. Okay, results are in. 101 votes for, 70 votes against. That's 59%, which falls short of the 2/3. So that does not pass. Moving on to proposal number 8. Brian, if you could briefly put that on here. Article 4, 4.13, directors removes the entire paragraph that calls for nominating committee, thereby eliminating the nominating committee from the bylaws. Steve, a motion?
Motion to vote on this amendment as written.
A second. We can open it for discussion. Brian, if you can just take that down. I think we all understand this one.
Yeah, I'd move to vote on this amendment without discussion.
are there any questions? I know I agree, Steve, we've kind of talked about this one already. So without objection, Maureen, would you start your process?
And seconds. Okay, closing poll. We have 37 votes.
Thanks, Maureen. We'll jump into our call. Okay, thanks everyone for hanging in there. The votes for article number 8, proposal 8, are 92 votes for and 78 votes against. Again, there it's not a two-thirds, so it's not a vote. So article or proposal number 9, there is an issue with proposal number 9 because of proposal number 1 not passing, but Richard's gonna try and tackle that one.
Okay, just basically because proposal number 9 really dealt with the process by which the PRO would be elected by the members. Since it didn't, the vote with regard to the power to do that did not pass as was set forth in proposal 1. It appears that number 9 is, I guess, the legal word moot. It just it doesn't make sense to have a vote with regard to that. And that's what I would say about that.
So Richard and I had talked about this, and it just does not appear as though it makes sense to vote on this, that it really can vote on it because number 1 is needed in order for number 9 to work. So with number 1 not being voted, you can't, even if you voted 100% in favor of it, it doesn't work. It can't work without number 1. So we've made the executive decision to pass over number 9 and move on to proposal 10. Are there any questions on that? I don't see any hands raised. So proposal number 10, we're getting this down pat now. So proposal number 10, new article 6.8, conflict of interest, adds a conflict of interest policy in the bylaws. That conflict of interest policy is actually stated in the body of the this proposal. So, Steve, do you want to make your motion?
Take a motion to accept and vote on this as written.
I'll second. And we'll open it up for discussion. Brian, if you could just take this down. Steve, do you want to start off?
Sure. As was discussed in the last meeting last week, the board thought that having a conflict of interest policy was also good for the club. They didn't agree that it should be part of the bylaws, that it'd be difficult to change. All the more reason for it to be part of the bylaws, that once it's actually instituted and accepted as part of the bylaws, it would remain as part of the bylaws unless the two-thirds vote would amend or remove it otherwise. It clearly specifies and allows for an annual review of the policy. It goes into violations of the conflict of interest policy and basically requires any member of the board to disclose if they have any issues which could create a conflict of interest.
And Steve, I will comment from the bylaw review committee. We agree that this makes sense. Just that we haven't seen it in a set of bylaws. It's a policy like a number of other policies that I think the bylaw committee is proposing the board to adopt. This is another one of those. And I think as part of the discussion last week, I think it was mentioned that the board does receive this type of training, although we don't specifically have this policy yet. But you know, we all agree it makes sense to have it as a policy, just not incorporated in the bylaw, because we know how difficult it is through this process to change bylaws. Certainly open it up to any other questions, comments.
So may I ask you a question, Randy? So my impression is that if we don't vote this in tonight, you guys will make sure we have it as a policy. We don't just, we need to have this, but I'm not sure it has to be a bylaw either, but I guess I need to trust the powers that be that it will become a policy. How does that become a policy? How can you assure me or anybody else that it will become a policy?
I will tell you as a director, I will put it forth. I'll put our president on the spot and maybe he can commit to you that it'll be put forth as well.
That's all I need is one of you to say it's actually going to, Marianne, I trust you. Yes.
Marianne, I definitely commit to what Randy just said. Yes.
Thank you so very, very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Oh, Andrew, can we do this by the annual meeting?
We can do it by the annual meeting, correct?
Okay.
Any further questions? Thank you, Marianne. I guess seeing none, hearing none. Maureen, would you put this poll to the members, please?
Ten seconds. Okay. 39 votes.
Folks, we'll be right back to you. Okay, we seem to lose a few people. We're at 95-4 and 77 against. So again, that's not a vote. And that is the end of the proposals. Andrew, I would just comment, I want to thank the folks that I work with on the bylaw review committee. And I think if anything that we can learn from all of this is that we want to get together with the folks that prepared this. And I think there are certainly a number of areas that we should all work together on and come together and, you know, kind of start healing from that. But that's what I'd have to say.
Randy, first of all, thank you and Rich for tonight. Maureen, for joining us today. I'm sorry, I didn't expect it to go this long because of the informational meeting, but it did. It shows the passion everybody has to the club. So thank you for that. Almost went 3 hours. So it's there. Majority of the folks stayed on there. So thanks, everybody. All right, well, have a good night.
All right, thanks, everyone.
Andy?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Tom?
We're going to send the champagne over to the other locker room.
Okay, very good. This champagne is driving to Pennsylvania as soon as I get out of this house.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, Randy, thanks for staying. You know, Randy's going to go visit his new granddaughter. So,
yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Safe travels.
Thanks, Marianne. Thanks, guys. Have a good night, everyone.
Richard, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thanksgiving.
Good night. Happy Thanksgiving.